For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Sunday afternoon service of December the 29th, 1996, the Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate is the speaker for the afternoon.
Let's read it together. I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly, my Lord was speaking. I am, God says. God doesn't remind you of the past, nor will he bug you with the future. So who does? I didn't hear you. Your enemy and my enemy. And the reason he does that is because he knows that God is I am today, now. And he wants to keep your mind either back there or out yonder somewhere so that you can not be as sensitive to God today as you should be. Anything he can do to steal your time, he'll do it. Hallelujah. So we'll just put that aside. That's enough said on that. Some years ago, when I got kicked out of my home, and I had to stay with a bunch of young people that were coming off of the streets and all, and I was the old man there, and the rest of them were less than 20 years old. And there used to be an old country western song that started off, says, I feel better all over more than anywhere else. And that thing kept going through my mind and going through my mind. And one morning I got up and the Lord said, get a pencil and a piece of paper. Now I'm going to give you a few more words to go with it. It'll bless you and help you. That little chorus, it goes like this. I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus saved my soul. I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus made me whole. I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. I took the word of God and tore the devil apart. Oh, I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus made me whole. Hallelujah. You want to feel better all over more than anywhere else? You take the word of God, just like God said it, and you use it as the sword of the Spirit, and you tear the devil to pieces. It's time we stood up on our feet and said, no, devil. Hallelujah. But if you don't stand up, is what I said the other day, if you either conquer your mind or the devil will conquer you. One or the other. Well, my mind's part of me. Yes, it is. But you are a spirit being. When I look at you, I don't see you. I only see the house you live in. You don't see me. You see this house up here, but you don't see me. You only see the house I live in. We are spirit beings. We're made in God's image. God is a spirit. We that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In order for us to be able to listen to God, we're going to have to bring ourselves into submission to the word of God. Can you say amen? Here's another little song that I wrote some time ago. I don't remember where I was at or anything else, but God had been trying his best to get my attention for a long time. And I was falling for the traps of either worrying and being disgusted about the past and having all kind of sensations about the past, or either I was fearing and all about the future, anxious, you know, so on. And finally, God got my attention, and the way he did that, I kept going until I put myself back in the hospital. They strapped me down there on the bed and put 12 and a half pounds on each foot and my shoulder strapped to the head of the bed with two discs in the lower part of my back disintegrated. They said, give me a shot for pain at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Said, okay, this will hold you for a while and we'll come in later and we'll see how you're doing and so on. Well, anyway, time goes by. At 9 o'clock, they gave me a sleeping pill and they're powerful. And they said, now this will hold you till in the morning. You'll sleep all night and then everything will be fine. But it didn't. Along about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I had a visitor, a supernatural visitor. I'm awakened, and the thought come to my mind, well, the nurse is coming to check on me. Well, when I looked, my head's laying over on this side, and I rolled my head around and looked, and there's nobody in the room. But yet when I looked around toward the door, which is to my right, I caught this shaft of light standing there at the foot of my bed. But that didn't bother me right then because the thought immediately come that's coming in the window. Well, when I look back, the window, the blind's drawn. There's no light coming in the window. The light's still there. And about this time, all the hair on my arms, the back of my neck, and I begin to tingle. I tell you what, man, it's awesome to come in and right into face to face with God. Jesus was standing there as that light. Then the voice says, now I've got you where I want you. Will you listen? Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing my word. Study. Study. So from then on, when God tells you to do something, you know he'll give you the power to do it. I would go to bed at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock and wake up at 1 or 2, just as refreshed as could be, and could not stay in that bed, had to get up and get my Bible or Bibles, get somewhere where it was quiet, and stick my nose in the Word of God for the next 6 or 8, 10 hours. Day after day after day after day. Hallelujah. Now, I don't regret one minute of it. I tell you what, I do feel better all over more than anywhere else. But we need to learn how to listen to God. Listen to this. Get you to listen. Thank you, Lord. Listen, and you will hear the Savior knocking. Listen, and you will hear the Savior say. Listen, and you will hear the Savior speaking. Listen, don't turn him away. He speaks so gentle. His words are filled with love divine. He is so tender. Oh, I know, because he's mine. Listen, and you will hear the Savior knocking. Listen, and you will hear the Savior say. Listen, and you will hear the Savior speaking. Listen. Don't turn him away. Hallelujah. Don't turn him away. Many, many times he's trying his best to talk to us. And some thought will come, well, I need to do this, or I need to do that, and so on and so on. When we can very easily let whatever we think we need, must, absolutely has to be, we could let it go for at least a half hour. Just sit down and get quiet and say, God, what do you want to say to me? Bible says, in quietness and in rest shall be your confidence. May the Lord help us to get quiet before him. Hallelujah. All right. 10 laws of spiritual warfare. We got through the first two the other day. It says, remember 2 Corinthians 5:7. Very quickly, we'll just glance at that. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just as God is a God of love, peace, joy, God is also a God of faith. He said, let there be, in faith believing that it was, and it was. Then he gives us the privilege today to call those things which are not as if they were. So that means that we can say to a situation, let there be light. When there's darkness there. And God will see to it that light comes. But simply operate in faith. I got a surprise some years ago. There was a joint, let's say, that on one of the main thoroughfares there in Jacksonville that was, had a, you know, it was just a bad place. I'll say it that way. So I happened to be in that neighborhood one day. Just walking up and down the street, praising the Lord, waiting for somebody. And I get on down there, and I just get the thought comes to me, go up there and lay hands on that, on the door of that place, and command it to close in Jesus' name. So I did. Didn't take long, just went up there, laid my hands on it, and said something like this. You evil den of thieves and hell, I bind you up in Jesus' name, and I command you to shut down and cease to exist. I cover this place in the blood of Jesus, and I thank you, Lord, that it's done. I was by there, and it was locked up. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. There was another big joint over on one of the main thoroughfares, big nightclub. I got up one morning about 2 o'clock to drive about 40 miles to go fishing, and I went to come back around there, and I just pointed my hand out like that. I said, I command you to burn to the ground, you devil's den. That's all I said. Drove on down the road. A week later, I went by there. It wasn't nothing but a pile of ashes. See, we need to learn how to talk all over again as Christians. When God said he gives to us power over all the power of the devil, he meant what he said, did he not? Hallelujah. Galatians 3:11. Hallelujah. We got a... Oh, glory. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. By faith. I left Mayport, Florida one time. I had a little 63 Buick with recap tires on it, tank full of gas, and $7. Where am I going? Down just 4 or 5 miles? No, I was headed for California. 3,500 miles away, about. Well, I made it to California, and God so blessed along the way, when I got to California, them recap tires were still going good, and instead of $7, I had over $400 in my pocket. When I got ready to come back to Florida, one of the men that I had met there in some of the small groups that I was ministering in, he said, I want you to bring your car by my filling station. He owned a big Shell station. He said, I want to grease it and fill it up with gas. And that's all he said. So he said, you're going to have to leave it for a while. I'm pretty busy and I can't do everything. You just leave it there. And I wasn't. It didn't dawn on me what he was up to. So I left it, and later on he called me and said, your car's ready. So I went back down in the afternoon, and he had put a brand new set of tires on it. He said, may the blessings of the Lord be upon you. Not a dime, just put them on there. God's good. Oh, come on. God's good. Glory to God. Get excited about the Lord. All right, one more quickly. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. When we start out with God, as we learn what the Word of God says, there's no turning back. There's nothing to turn back for. But there's plenty to reach forward to. Press on for the prize of the high calling of life in God. Lay hold of things eternal, not things in the material realm that fade away. Anywhere you go now, any big city, you go through the city and you'll see all kinds of little mini storage places. People storing up their stuff. Let's get more. Let's get more. Well, what are we going to do with what we got? Well, we'll rent a little storage place and we'll put it in there. More bondage. Enough said about that. Boy, don't get me started. All right, number one says, claim your authority over Satan by faith. Claim your authority. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 35, 36, and 37, you that are making notes, make a note of that, study it diligently. He said, by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. Learn to speak words that justify you, that edify you, that lift you up, that encourage and strengthen you. Hallelujah. All right? We've got some scriptures there. All of you that have this sheet, I hope everybody has one. You can look all of those up later. We went through those the other day. Number two says, confess victory through Jesus' blood by faith. We sing that old song, there's power in the blood. But do we really believe it? Power in the blood. There was a time in my life when there was such warfare going on till one night, about 11:30, I lay down on my bed, didn't undress anything. There was a situation that I didn't think it was necessary at that time. I lay down, light was off, Closed my eyes, and all of a sudden it felt like 1,000,000 pounds was pressing on me. Couldn't get my breath. I opened my eyes. Now listen, I opened my eyes, and this apparition was standing at the foot of my bed. His head about so big, orange, red in color, and the Holy Spirit rose up inside of me, and it's just a few seconds that I'm not being able to breathe, and the Holy Spirit rose up inside and said, "Say Jesus." Well, I couldn't. But the Lord, when the Lord tells you to do something, He'll give you the power to do it. So again, in a little more orderly fashion, shall I say, or authoritative fashion, He said, "I said, say Jesus." Well, I just barely got it out. Jesus. That power was broken. And that apparition took one step back. Then the Holy Spirit said, "Now say the blood of Jesus." Well, I can say something. So I said, "The blood of Jesus." Out the door, he went. I knew that if I had not obeyed the promptings of God, they would have found me dead the next morning. They'd have said, "Well, he died of a heart attack. Poor old thing." What does the Word of God say? It says the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And yet a Christian will die, and the confession of the mouth is, "Oh, the Lord took him." In other words, God's a murderer. No, God's not a murderer. The devil's the murderer. And anything he can do to destroy the tabernacle that you live in before it can be used mightily for God, he'll do it. He'll do it. All right, you have all the scriptures there, Revelations 12:11. They overcame by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And then Romans 5:9 and so on. You've got them all there. All right, number three, command Satan or demons to depart in Jesus' name by faith. Well, Brother Bill Null has been doing some of that, and a lot of them has took off. They got the left foot of fellowship. James 4:7, Matthew 18:18-20, and Mark 16:17-20. Let's look at James 4:7. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Now, what does that word submit there mean? Means it for you to go to church every Sunday and Wednesday? Shake the pastor's hand when you go out No. Submit yourself to God. Paul put it this way in Romans 12:1-2. He said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, sisters, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, and be not conformed to this world, and do not listen to the world, and do not listen to your own head or anybody else's head, for that matter, if it's against the word of God in any way whatsoever. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Why? So that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're told that the Spirit of God and the Word of God bear witness together. They never contradict each other. Never. We're told that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty or freedom. So now we can learn how to balance things out. If there is not liberty, freedom, then it isn't the Spirit of the Lord working there. All right? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. So Mary walks in, says to Melody, "Melody, you look like you feel kind of bad this morning." Well, in the first place, Mary should have just walked up and said, "Bless you in Jesus' name." Not go by what her head says or what her eyes see. In the second place, Melody, she's going to be filled with the Spirit of God. And she says, "Don't make a difference how I look. Bless God, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm doing excellent." Amen. Learning how to fight the good fight of faith. Learning how not to give a place to the devil. It's simply taking authority and control over your mind and literally reprogramming your mind to say what God says and not what anything or anybody else says. Hallelujah. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, we've been doing a lot of that around here these last few days. Hallelujah. We're going to do it even more and more and better and better. All right. Let's look at Matthew 18, verses 18, 19, and 20. Jesus is talking, and he says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." If anybody would like to get me a little small glass of water, I would be very, very appreciative. And there goes Teresa. Thank you. "Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Hallelujah. 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And do those things, thank you, Teresa, that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." There's another very, very important reason for us to know what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God is the will of God, isn't that correct? And if we ask according to God's will, his Word, he hears us. Many, many prayers that we Christians pray don't get any higher than the ceiling because they don't line up with the Word of God. Many, many times we keep going to God again and again and again and again. And God says, "Hey, when are you going to stop yakking and believe what you say will be?" He said, "Whatever you ask in faith, believing." Lord, give me a little simple illustration one time. He said, "Suppose you take a piece of cloth to a tailor, and you take a pattern with you, and you give him the cloth, and you lay the pattern out there and say, 'Now, Mr. Taylor, I want you to make me a suit according to this pattern.'" The tailor looks at it, and he says, "Well, I can do that, but..." He said, "I'm kind of, you know, a backlog, and you're going to have to give me at least a month." "Okay, fine." Well, instead of going back in a month or waiting for him to call, you go back a couple of days later. "Oh, Mr. Taylor, I just want to, can you bring that pattern out now? I want to point out a little something here to you." And then two or three days later, you go back. Pretty soon, that tailor's going to say, "Hey, you're wasting my time and yours. I told you I could make you a suit. I told you I would do it. And I told you when it would be in about a month. Now, if you can't take me at my word and just be patient and wait, then take your material and take your cloth and go somewhere else." God says, "Hey, I have a lot of grace and mercy. But after a while, I just turn my attention toward those that really pray in faith believing." And he says, "I know who believes and who don't believe." So our prayers get about that high and they come back. And they get about that high, and they come back. Why don't we do what the Word of God says and take God at His Word? Say, "Okay, God, I'm going to bring you in remembrance of so-and-so. I'm going to ask, I'm going to believe, and according to Mark 11, I'm going to receive. Not when I see the results, but when I pray. Believe that I receive those things I pray for, and I shall have them." I prayed for some things 20 years ago. I haven't seen any results, but that don't make any difference. As far as I'm concerned, it's done. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Mark 16. Mark 16, verses 17 through 20. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Mighty, potent, powerful scripture. And yet I have been told that that wasn't in the original manuscript, that was just added, you know. Well, if it was added, God had it ordained for it to be added. Don't you think so? Sir? Let's start at verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Are we all believers here this afternoon? Well, then these signs should be following us, not us running after some sign somewhere. In my name, that's the name of Jesus, they will cast out demons or devils, starting with your own self. They will speak with new tongues. Anybody here this afternoon that has not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then just stick around and you will. Tell somebody about it. They will take up serpents. Uh-oh. You mean we're going to go around picking up snakes? Well, if you have to, Paul picked up a snake and it didn't bother him, even though it bit him. But you don't tempt God by going out there and finding a rattlesnake or a moccasin or whatever and saying, hey, let me show you something. You don't, you know, start dangling that snake around. You'll wind up in the grave. No, the serpents, for you and I today, is the demon spirits of hell, as far as I'm concerned. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They, we, say we. Usins. will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I didn't say it. God did it. That's what he said. Hallelujah. They will recover. Amen. So we have the power, the authority given to us in Jesus to speak the word. To call those things which are not as if they were. That sick person say, in Jesus' name, be healed. Be whole, be well. All right, number four says, have on the whole armor of God by faith. Not part of it, but the whole armor of God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, now your handout there says 13 through 18. I want to back up to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, the finality of it is, stop being weak and wishy-washy. The finality of it is, believe that you are who God says you are, not what your head says or somebody else's head says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let me share a poem real that I've had for years. There it is. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The Lord hath commanded you, fear not the fight. His strength is made perfect when you are but weak. His conquering power is for all who will seek. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, so fear not the darkness and dread not the night. The light of the world surely knoweth the way. Keep clasping His hand every moment each day. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Just follow His footsteps by faith, not by sight. His love will protect you against any foe. Why, He's promised His presence wherever you go. Hallelujah. So we've got nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Well, wait a minute now. You know, after all, we're just human beings. Yeah. You're going to have that kind of a mental attitude about it, then you will be fearful. But we're not just human beings. We are supernaturally anointed of God to be supernatural human beings. Hallelujah. We can do things that others can't do. Casting out devils, anybody else will tell them to go to the psychiatrist. Get that psychologist and sit down and talk to him for a while. He'll figure it all out for you. Yeah, and the devil will steal your money and make a mockery of Jesus Christ. When a Christian begins to learn the truth, you're responsible for what you learn. And when you go against what you have learned, you crucify the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. And the Father doesn't smile very wisely or muchly on that. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, put on, the whole armor of God. Didn't say some, said the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You ever look up that word wiles in the dictionary and follow it through, it's quite interesting. Strategies, artifices, craftiness, cunningness, trickery, deceit, or deception, wiles of the devil. Thank you, Lord. We're going to have the armor on. Now, here's a big key in our relationship with each other, with people around, about, and even with ourselves. This next verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, if you ever get that thing worked down deep inside of you, you'll never have a put up with arguing with your spouse or anybody else ever again. Arguments are caused by trying to justify yourself. What if you're dead in Christ, you don't justify yourself, because a dead person doesn't have anything to justify himself about. So then, let's say you forget to roll the window up in your car, and it rains that night. And the next morning, let's say the wife came home and she forgot to roll the window up. The next morning, the husband goes out and he sees the car seat wet, and he starts to say something, you know, he's going to get on to his wife, and he says something negative. And she knows Jesus. She knows what to do. So she just says, well, praise the Lord anyway. No self-justification whatsoever. Praise the Lord. See, the devil, he's going to use anything he can to create dissension and strife and arguing and so on. You say, well, after all, my husband shouldn't have been so hard on me. When you say that, you're admitting that you're still alive in the flesh. You're still carnally minded. That's what you're admitting. All arguments, all strife and so on, comes because of carnal mindedness. God said to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God said in Isaiah 26:3, he said, I'll keep you in perfect peace if you'll keep your mind stayed upon me. Stayed. Stayed. It's impossible for me to stay right behind this little lectern here. So I move about. And that's the way the devil gets us. He gets us to moving about trying to justify ourselves. We open up, and the next thing you know, we've got some problems. And don't think that, you know, well, I'm in a safe place. All we do is praise the Lord around our house, and we just keep praise tapes going. Don't think that that's a completely safe place. Because just like that, a spirit can slip right in if you give him an opportunity. I don't care where you're at. If you go to the moon, you can find some devils there just as well as you can find God. He is always waiting to take advantage of any opportunity he possibly can to slip into your mind, my mind, and gain access and begin to control. We're not waging a war. We're not in a war against a namby-pamby enemy. He has thousands of years of experience in deceiving and beguiling and ensnaring and trapping people. There ought to be people walking this earth just like Jesus walked it, doing the things of Jesus. All of us should endeavor to reach that plateau. Do whatever we have to do. Here for all these many, many hundreds of years, we still have not seen the manifestation of the power of God like God wants it to be shown. I'm standing on my toes as well as anybody else's. They're my feet, and I can walk on the bottom. I'll walk on the top of them all the time. And sometimes they get pretty sore. That's all right. That's what I want. Whatever God has to do with me to get me where he wants me to be, I say, Lord, bring it on. All right. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Apostle Paul made a very profound statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when he said, and no marvel, for Satan himself comes as an angel of light. Satan comes as an angel of light. And his ministers, who are Satan's ministers? Brother Dell cast a bunch of them out this afternoon. Satan's ministers had to leave. Demons! That's who his ministers are. They come to ensnare, trap, and whatever. Ain't nothing Satan got's any good. I was in a big Episcopalian church one morning, They had a little morning meeting going on. There's about 30 or 40 people, and a little two or three words given, and then everything. All right, let's all get in a circle, and we're going to pray. And we get in a circle, and a lady right straight across from me, when it comes kind of going around, people were saying a few words, and this lady says, "Now, Mr. Devil, man," the Spirit of the Lord rose up behind, "we don't say Mr. to the devil." I can still hear that. "Now, Mr. Devil." I didn't let her finish whatsoever she was going to say. Hallelujah. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Evil day. Is it an evil day out there in the world today? Thank you, Lord. Lord's bringing some things back to my mind that I haven't thought of in a long time. My present wife, my first wife, after 23 years of faithful marriage, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, decided she wanted somebody else. She come from a broken home. She come from a cursed family. And all the 23 years, I knew something was going on, but I couldn't figure out what it was because I didn't have an inner light myself to discern what was there. When that inner light come, the darkness was exposed, and the darkness said, "Okay, let's go." So she went. 5 years later, the Lord gave me the mate that I have now, and it's been 20 years of absolute heaven on earth with this one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But anyway, we got married down in West Palm Beach, and we were out one day, and we decided we'd stop at a big Kmart. And we just went in and walked around there for a little bit. I didn't want anything at all. I think she wanted, I don't know what. But we walk around that place a few minutes, and I said, "Hey, honey, let's get out of here." I began to feel the oppressiveness. It took a good 30 minutes to get that heaviness off of us. Just from being in that atmosphere. Is it any wonder the Word of God says, "Come out from amongst them and be ye separate unto yourselves, saith the Lord, and I will receive you"? Is it any wonder He said, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them"? Now, if we'd have just went in there just talking about, you know, just worshiping and praising the Lord and, you know, just loudly exclaiming Jesus is Lord and singing courses, we wouldn't have been able to stay as long as they'd ask us to leave. But we would have had protection because God inhabits the praises of His people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand." That doesn't give you any room to turn around and run from the devil, does it? Well, now, Brother Gerald, it was kind of rough on me yesterday. The devil was giving me a hard time. I'm running from the devil. The Christian's got no business letting his mouth say the devil's giving me a hard time. Period. We're not on the defense. We're on the offense. Now, if you are oppressed in any way whatsoever, then tell the devil and everybody else, "Hey, I'm giving the devil a hard time." You are a spirit being, first and foremost. If somebody came outside there with a sledgehammer and started beating on the outside of that building, would we all begin to moan and groan and holler, "Ouch, ooh, you're hurting me"? We're in the building. No. So let's come to that place of separating ourselves, the spirit person, from the control of the outer man. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And surely, in the last months, I've had some trouble with the sciatic nerve and some of the things that I do, and it bothered my right hip for a while and down at my knee. But do I walk around, "Oh my God, the devil's giving me a hard time"? No! Deliberately. Just deliberately praise and worship the Lord. And even though it hurts, so what? This body is not me. It's a house that I live in. Hallelujah. All right, verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness," and so on down there through the whole thing. And then he winds up and he says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is the Word of God. Most of us wield our sword as if it's a piece of tin can cut out, and it bends this way and that, instead of just, "Hey, You know, get that thing sharpened by having it inside of you so that you may know how to give an answer every time the devil says, has God said? By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Amen? Does that mean part of me or all of me? A man was in an automobile accident, and after that accident, he had terrible, terrible headaches, and they just kept pestering him. The guy was a pastor. A friend of his, who was also a pastor, went to visit him, and he's sitting there at his desk, and he's holding his head, and it's killing him. And the other brother is sitting there just kind of meditating, thinking a little bit, and the Lord speaks to him and says, that's a spirit. So he shared that with the other pastor, and he said, now, wait a minute now. You know, I got hurt. There's something wrong with my body. I've got a headache. And the other pastor says, it's a spirit. Well, I have to think about that. Well, go ahead and hurt and think about it, and when you get ready, we can get rid of it. You won't have any more headaches. By the time come, and he said, okay, do whatever you need to do. I'm willing to receive whatever. So they got busy, and they cast that spirit out, and the headache left, and I heard the testimony. It was 7 years later, he'd never had another headache. We don't have to walk around tormented by the powers of hell. Hallelujah. I guess I need just to say this. I need to tell you all that I really love you, and I'm for you. I get kind of rough and raucous, and I'm aggravated and disgusted and hate the devil with a passion. But I love you. Glory to God. Number five, continue to resist the devil by faith. 1 Peter 5:8, 9, and 10. There's never been a time in history when God, in His mercy and His grace, is opening up the spiritual world to give us some insights about the work of the enemy so that we can be more than conquerors, that we can be, you know, on top instead of bottom, the head instead of the tail. There's enough information right over there on those bookshelves, I mean, for every one of us to walk in complete freedom and harmony with God. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. The devil as a roaring lion. Does a lion. Now just visualize with me, okay? We're out there in the wherever the lions and all the animals are there in that country in Africa. And we're watching this scene. And there's a beautiful little deer over there. And here comes Mr. Lion. Now he gets up on his hind legs and he roars and says, "Yoo-hoo, Mr. Little Deer, I'm coming after you." Is that the way he does it? No, that sneaky lion, he sniffs the wind and he'll make a wide turn and go down and get downwind from that deer. So the wind's coming from the deer to him. And then he sneaks and stalks that deer, and he gets very, very quietly, and he very stealthily gets up, and then all of a sudden he's got him. That's the way the devil does with you and I. Let's go back again to that little simple illustration with the window. Sneaky. Gets that man's, that woman's mind on something, and she gets out, and the thought's there, well, I've, you know, whatever, and she forgets to roll the window up. No, the next morning, its husband comes out and finds the window down. And, oh, boy, why, just look at my beautiful car. Just the seat's all wet. The mind's on the car. And just working that plan, sneaking up. And then all of a sudden, here's a man and his wife, and they're you know, they don't know God or what I say, and they're just going at it. The little foxes spoil the vine. And the Bible says the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's physically going to kill you. But he'll kill a relationship between you and your spouse, or between you and a brother or sister or a friend or somebody. Division, separation, ill will in all of its ramifications. He does not want us to walk in harmony in any sense of the word. And yet the Word of God says that we're to be one in the Spirit. Isn't that right? The Word of God says that we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of love. All of the squabbling and carrying on and the gossiping and the slandering and all of that stuff is carnal mindedness. And the body of Christ, the church as a whole, has got to learn how to die to self and be spiritually minded instead of carnally minded. That's the only way we're ever going to have unity and peace. Ephesians 4.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Beginning at verse 22. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning the former conversation. How should we look at this word conversation? When thoughts are rampaging through your mind, that's conversation going on within you, right? Thinking. Should I? Shouldn't I? So on. That you put off concerning the former conversation, which also means conduct, because your conduct is only what you think first. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I like that. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. True holiness.
Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him any place. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, 29. Powerful verse. Key. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, now, what's the first thing we should do? When we read that and it begins to sink in, we need to literally do a word study. Now, God, what do you say is corrupt communication? What's corrupt communication to you, God? I don't want to say it if it's corrupt communication any way whatsoever. somebody will come up and say, you know, I just saw such and such a little old thing, and why, it just tickled me to death. And the devil says, oh, did you say death? Maybe I could help you some way. Let me see if I can figure out a way to help you. By your words, you're justified, and by your words, you're condemned. Another little habit that needs to be changed. Why couldn't we say, well, that just tickled me to life? And all the little idiosyncrasies of conversation and conduct that we've had, that is why we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The Bible says the words of a wise man are few. And here again, the devil says, oh, yeah, you just wait. And so he'll get two or three people together and tell a little story about something, and the ball gets to going, and then somebody else has got to tell a little gossipy story or whatever, and then somebody else, and it'll come back to mind. It'll just start flowing in. All stuff of the past, and yet we're told to forget the past. If we've got time to talk about the past, haven't we got time to take that time that when we're going to talk about things of the past and pray for one another or for somebody else? Use that time wisely. Time being a borrowed trust from eternity. Once it's gone, it's gone. You heard me say it the last time. Hallelujah. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only, in the King James says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So if you're talking and it isn't ministering grace to whoever you're talking to, then you don't need to be saying it. If you say, well, this person said such and such, and I really didn't say anything back to him until I got home and got in my closet or bathroom or kitchen or wherever, and boy, I was that so-and-so and yakety-yak and so-and-so. Well, you're hearing it. If it doesn't minister grace to you, don't say it. If the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and it does, could it be that God wants us to get such a manifestation of light within the structure of our mind till it unites and fuses with our spirit one and one, like we are joined to God, so that we can be examples of Almighty God, and we can call those things which are not as if they were? There have been some ministers that have been close enough that could say to someone like Dolores, in the name of Jesus, get up out of that wheelchair and be made whole and walk. And the power of God just centers right down, and everything that the devil is trying to destroy is immediately made 100% whole. Now, God's no respecter of persons. The thought comes, well, that was Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, Catherine Kuhlman, or whoever. God's no respecter of persons. Whatever he does for one, he's obligated to do for the other if the other will do what he says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said he'd withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Yeah, but God don't give it to me. Well, where are you not walking uprightly? We can't say it's God's fault. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So it comes back and points the finger right at us, and we have to say, hey, where are you not walking uprightly? Verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Well, Brother George, I do that most of the time. Well, if you can do it most of the time, why not do it all the time? Amen? Amen or oh me. And be ye kind one to another, kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Thank God we're forgiven. Hallelujah. All right. Number 6, refuse to listen to doubt. I mean, get to that place where you talk to yourself. Do you know it's all right to talk to yourself? I remember one time working as a letter carrier for 5 years in the post office, and we had a retired Marine in there. I mean, a rough, tough drunkard. And he'd come in after a binge over the weekend, and he's always kidding around, had a good sense of humor. And he'd say to whoever, he said, now I said to self, said I, self, you're not going to go out and get drunk this weekend. And you know self went out and did it anyway. So we need to talk to ourselves, and we need to say, head, shut up. You're not listening to God. That's something else. Get out of there. This is good to have the kind of ministry that goes on in a place like this. But we don't need to keep coming back again and again and again and again going through the same stuff. We need to learn how to wage the warfare against the enemy ourselves. So then wherever we're at, we can help somebody else. Hallelujah. You know what, Brother Bill Null, and I'm just going to use him, but you know what he's really trying to do? He's trying to put himself out of business. Refuse to listen to doubt. Keep a close watch over your mind. Let's turn over to Job chapter 3, verse 25. Job 3:25, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. Now, wait a minute. I thought Job was a perfect and a just man. There was still that little doubt, that little fear, that seed down there. God wanted it out. God knew it was there. Job says, the thing that I feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. Hallelujah. So that's the reason we need to get our mind free and clear, and then we need to keep a watch over it. The helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10:3, 4, and 5, we know what that says. We won't even go to it. Proverbs chapter 4. Let's look at that. Chapter 4. Now, I'm assuming that all of us in here this evening, we are Bible believers. And if anybody isn't, by the time you leave here, I hope you will be. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. My son, give attention to my words. Well, that doesn't leave you ladies out either. God's no respecter of persons, so if he wants us men to give attention to the word, he wants you too. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Oh, you mean I got to constantly meditate, look and read the word? No. You need to hide that word in your heart so you can bring it back to the surface. And when it comes back to the surface of your mind, what are you doing? You're seeing yourself again looking at that word. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We can literally talk ourselves into the grave. And not only can we as human beings cause ourselves to become sick with all kinds of stuff and talk ourselves into the grave, but did you know that plants have feeling? Man took two plants just alike. Put one in the corner of a big window. One in this corner, one in that corner. Just alike, same size pot and everything. One, when he fertilized it and watered it, he said, oh, you sweet thing, I just thank you. Oh, I think you're the most. You're just beautiful. And it flourished. Went over to the other one and said, you sorry thing, you'll never amount to anything. Why, you whatever, you know. And that plant died. Now, that's an actual experiment. Is it any wonder we have the problems with the children that's coming up today? Why, you dumb little thing, why can't you ever do right? Don't you know how to do anything right? You have what you say. But not only do you have what you say, you give the devil legal right to harass and intimidate and bind and curse and whatever your whoever you're talking to. Hallelujah. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Number 7, refuse to confess doubt or unbelief. Refuse to confess doubt or unbelief. Then we have some scriptures there. Proverbs 6, 2. 18:21. 18:21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Hallelujah. Psalm 140. Well, you can look these scriptures up later. We have just about 10 minutes, and we're going to stand up and praise the Lord for a minute. All right, number 8 says, maintain a positive confession of God's word by faith. So you get up tomorrow morning, and your head feels like whatever, and you feel like you've aged 50 years, what are you going to say? You're going to get up and just kind of kick yourself around a little bit and say, glory to God, I tell you what, I got the victory. Oh, yes, I got the victory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and the strength of the Lord is my joy. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you just keep on, and it gets better and better as you go along, and the next thing, you're bubbling over. Somebody will catch you singing that little old song, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul, and so on. And it does, all right? A lot of scriptures there for number 8. Look them up when you get home or whenever. Number 9, act on the word by faith. I want us to look at those two scriptures, James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word. Doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. As Christians, if we find the word says something and we don't do it, then we deceive ourselves. And who's behind the deception? The devil. Spirits of whatever. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother George. You believe all this stuff about all these different spirits? Well, my Bible tells me that you're the servant of whom you serve. And it doesn't ever say that you can put God over there and the devil over there and just go in and serve yourself. It's just, you know, I've had people, oh, that's just me. The devil ain't got nothing to do with it. That's just me. I just lose my temper and lose my cool. It's just me. No, that's not what the Bible says. The only position we have is to follow one or the other, God or the devil. We make the choice. Am I going to be on Satan's side or am I going to be on God's side? Well, nobody, you know, especially as Christians, we don't want to deliberately be on the devil's side. And if somebody says, well, whose side? Well, I'm on the devil's side. We're not going to say that. So then he's got to figure out a way to deceive and beguile and get us to side with him either deceptively or knowingly and then begin to rule and reign and cause us all kind of problems. All the more reason for us to know the Word of God. And that word know means to have intimate relationship with. Hallelujah. All right, James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So operate your faith by doing what the Word of God says to do. And it says 17 through 22. I'm not going to read any more of that. Then number 10 says, praise God through the trial of your faith. Romans 4, let's look at that one quickly. Romans chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. 19 through 23. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Glory to God. That's good news. Then you have the other scriptures there. Look them all up. Go over this thing and really disciple yourselves to be more than conquerors. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Make this confession with me. Lord Jesus, I am determined. I really have made up my mind. I'm going to be sold out for you. I want you to be the Lord, the King, the Master of all of my life, spirit, soul, and body. Lord Jesus, I ask you, in faith believing, that you will help me in the days to come to look to you more than ever before, to rely upon your word, and know that you will bring that word to pass. As I place my confidence in it and trust you, I thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory. May the blessings of the Lord be upon you. Brother Glenn?
You know, we say we come here to camp meeting, to services. Most of the time you come here, we come here to a classroom. It's actually, this is a classroom, these meetings, more than a church service, although we call them services. You come here to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing word of truth. We come and we sit under Brother George, we sit under Brother Pittman, we sit under Doc, we sit under the coffees or whoever's ministering, and we actually are in a classroom. And we need to hide it in our heart that we're not sin against the Lord, but that we walk in the righteousness of the Word. And that's what this place is a place to change your thinking so that you'll think rightly. Okay. Father, thank you for the food. Bless it to us. Bring us back tonight to a classroom with Brother Pittman, and we'll learn that which you've showed him. It can be applied to our lives so that we can be that which you are calling each one of us to be. Bless the food to us. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.